The scripture that Randy's message will be based on today is Luke 14, verses 7 through 14. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. Ouch, that's the way I do things. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. God's blessings, Randy.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be gathered together. Let's begin with a word of prayer. God, thank you that you invite us to the table. God's table, y'all come. What a blessing, Lord. We pray that you would speak this morning through this amazing story in the book of Luke. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and may we follow you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are continuing along in our summer sermon series out of the Leader magazine, Practicing Faith. Practicing Faith. And if you've been paying attention here the last 4 or 5 weeks, you've been hearing a theme coming through. Practices shape us. What we do with our body, the habits that we engage in, they inform us. They form us, whether we are aware of it or not. You have been hearing me say this now, and I've been trying to make this point that if indeed this is true, that it's actually our embodied practices more than our head knowledge and more rational thinking that's more formative in our lives. And I've been also introducing this book, Desiring the Kingdom, by James K. Smith, who's a Christian philosopher. And basically, I'm borrowing a lot of things from him in how we think about formation. So I wanted to just begin this sermon by reading a snapshot of James K. Smith and how he explains habits and practices that are formative in our lives. He says habits can be thin and thick habits. Thin habits are kind of the mundane things in life, like brushing our teeth, or eating the same cereal for breakfast every morning, or watching the 11 o'clock news every night. We just do it out of habit. Exercising daily, and so on. Smith says such things are not usually pursued for their own sake, but rather they are instrumental to some end. They also aren't the sort of things that tend to touch on our identity so much. It would be an odd thing, for instance, for me to think of myself first and foremost as a toothbrusher. These practices and habits don't touch my fundamental loves and identity. They don't touch on my fundamental desires and who I am as a person. Those are the thin practices, Smith says. But then he also calls thick practices that we need to be aware of. Meaningful practices and habits. These are the practices and habits that play a significant role in shaping our identity, who we are. And Smith says that engaging in these habit-forming practices not only says something about us, but also keeps shaping us and forming us into certain kinds of people. So thick habits often both signal and shape our core values or our most significant desires. Here's where we would often locate religious habits and practices for example, what we're doing right now, going to Sunday worship, engaging in daily prayer, meeting with others for supper, encouragement. But what I love about James K. Smith is he looks at secular practices as well that are forming us and shaping us. For example, if you regularly ride public transit, that might be a habit that not only says something significant about you, but it shapes you as well. A practice that is transformative. So would be the habit of commuting by yourself in a car for 3 hours every day on the 405 freeway while listening to inflammatory talk radio. That habit will shape a person. Thin practices and thick practices that are formative. Why are we considering the practices right now and the formation? Well, we're in this sermon series and thinking about our own spiritual formation. And if indeed it's true, and the philosophy is true, that our embodied practices are formative, then it's important as a congregation that we think about the habits that we're engaging in, both secular and Christian spiritual practices that are forming us in real ways. And we've been looking at different spiritual practices. For example, we've looked at the practice of prayer. We looked at the practices of, this morning, hospitality. Who would have thought that the hospitality would be a spiritual practice? But that is our focus statement this morning. Hospitality is a relationship of giving and receiving. As God welcomes each of us, we step out in risk and trust to give and receive welcome in the world. And this morning I invite you to think about how the practice, the embodied practice of hospitality, both receiving it and giving it, is formative in your life. It makes you a particular kind of person. It shapes you. It shapes all of us. In the latest issue of Commonplace, which is the publication from Mennonite Central Committee, I enjoyed reading stories about IVEPers, International Volunteer Exchange Program. MCC's IVE program began in 1950, and there's been some 3,800 young people from 79 different countries who have spent a year serving in Canada or the United States. 60 new participants every year. IVE peers live with host families, they worship in local congregations, they serve in volunteer assignments such as a farm, a school, a retirement home, or an MCC thrift shop. And in each setting, Anabaptists have an incredible opportunity to learn from and share with IVEP participants. And participants take what they have learned back home, enriching their home churches, communities, and organizations. When I read that article, it touched me in a special way, because I was fortunate enough to have grown up in a family where there was often host students present. Some of them were even IVEP participants that my parents hosted. Some were students from Lancaster Mennonite School or New Covenant Christian School where I attended. Starting in high school, it seemed like there was just about always a host student in my house growing up. And I think some people wondered how my parents did that for so many years. And I think that James K. Smith's philosophy on habits helps to explain why my parents were able to do it. Because it was a habit and a practice of hospitality, both giving and receiving, that formed them in so many ways year after year that eventually it almost just became a second kind of nature of being able to host students in their house. It was a habit that just formed them in such an incredible way that they were able to sustain that. Now, I'm not going to speak for my parents and tell you that it was always easy or that they never felt overwhelmed or busy. But I think that habit and that practice sustained them and gave them joy. Without a doubt, I look back to that and I know that I benefited as well. That my parents were not just formed by that habit and practice of hospitality, but that it formed their children too, and it formed me. in some ways, I look back and I say, that formed me to appreciate diversity and cross-cultural relationship, where there is so many different students in my home growing up from many different countries. It makes me appreciate being a global citizen in a new kind of way. Indeed, hospitality is twofold. That's our focus statement this morning. Hospitality is reaching outward, but we recognize that when we're reaching outward, we are blessed in just the most amazing way as well. And when we realize hospitality is also reaching inward. Hospitality is not a private spiritual practice, because it always brings us into relationship with others. And we also know that hospitality can be a risky venture, opening people on both ends of the relationship to uncertainty of what happens when lives are shared. Our story today in Luke shows us a glimpse of what hospitality can look like within God's story. So let's jump to Luke 14 here. We find Jesus at a dinner party. I love that. Jesus at a dinner party in this parable. And as Jesus is watching the people around him as he shares this parable, he starts to give some pointers about humility and also how to give and receive hospitality. Now let's just pause here for a second and recognize the significance of Jesus talking about food and about dinner tables. Jesus often used settings around a meal to explain the kingdom of God. I wonder why. Well, the meal in Jesus' day, and I think it does today as well, but probably even more of a significance then, for sure. The meal represented so much about expected social orders and class and power and privilege. Where you sat at the table mattered. And if you even had an invite to the table. Jesus' constant use of table relationships is perhaps his most central idea or visual of what family means and of what power means and privilege and class. And we see here that Jesus is trying to expand their understanding of who is welcomed at the table. Jesus is trying to broaden the circle of maybe what their imaginations previously had held. Jesus is saying here, your very way of eating and organizing yourself has everything to do with how you consider the systems around you of power and dominance and class and who is welcome. And he is saying here that my kingdom, where I am the head, the host of the table, this is a new way to think about table fellowship, where everyone is welcome to the table. In all cultures, sharing food is a complex interaction that symbolizes relationship and defines boundaries. Almost more than any other daily event, whom you eat with also defines and has something to do with whom you don't eat with. Certain groups of people eat certain kinds of food, Jews, Gentiles. Through our choices and behavior at the table, we name and identify ourselves. It says something about what we believe. Jesus gets that. He knows his audience gets that. And here in Luke 14, Jesus tells the host not to invite the expected people. The friends, the family, the rich, since they are to repay with a corresponding invitation. But instead, Jesus calls for inclusion of those who cannot return the invitation. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. In 14:13. This group of people resonates with the prophet Isaiah. And if you look back to the prophet Isaiah is prophesying to exactly what we see going on right here. This Isaiah-shaped mission, which then becomes from Isaiah-shaped to Jesus-shaped mission of inclusive hospitality of the very least expected. With the poor and blind mentioned explicitly as the recipients of Jesus' ministry, Jesus completely subverts the expectations, not just of who is invited, but of how they think about equality and repayment. In a world where eye for an eye, and if I pay this, I get this in return, Jesus is challenging them to rethink equality and payment as well. And this idea of repayment, I just think, is so applicable for us today as well. If I give you this amount, if I loan you this amount, then I expect to get that much back and some interest. But Jesus says in verse 14, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. His promise is that God will repay such hospitality at the resurrection of the righteous, which is a seminary word that we would use to say this is eschatological here, and that this is pointing to the future where God's final reign is present, where the resurrection of the righteous has come, where the kingdom is fully realized. And here we are told in verse 14 that that is when they will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So as God's people humble themselves and seek to live by a different social system, which is actually marked by the least of these, they can trust God to be faithful and to reward the right ways of living in that final day. So here, I believe, we see a picture of God as host of the table. And when God is host of the table, it's not up to me to decide who's invited. I appreciate in seminary a debate going on amongst two professors about how we think about communion table. And the professor of theology and Anabaptist theology was pretty strong on more of a closed table, where the table is for those who've been baptized within Christian, they are welcome to the table. And it was kind of based in very strong Anabaptist history and theology, which that is in our tradition. But interestingly, the professor of mission said, no, it's an open table. It's God's table. And actually, the table is a place for mission and for inviting others to come and see the goodness of the Lord at the table. And I loved it that the professors didn't agree on this one, and I think it just recognizes that we can give space for the diversity of opinions there. And I recognize, too, that each of you might be at a different place with how you think about the communion table. And there's a space for that diversity here. But here, I think we see a picture of God as a host of the table. And we're seeing this picture in the kingdom where if God is host, now and in that final day, in that eschatological picture of the feast, God is saying, as the host, my invitation list is going to look different than yours. And the people who you thought were going to be invited in your kingdom, actually, it's the opposite in my kingdom. It's actually the sick and the hungry and the orphan and the immigrant who were first be invited. Can you imagine hearing that in their day and just like, wow, that turned it upside down? And for the same today for us, it just completely turns it upside down. But what I love about this idea of God as host, because we also see that God is the guest. Because we read in Matthew 25:40, we are told in Scripture that when we show hospitality to the sick, to the hungry, to those on the margins, these very people that Jesus is talking about in this parable, we are told that we do it unto Jesus. Truly I tell you, Matthew 25:40, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me too. So now Jesus is our guest at the table as well. We're actually finding Jesus showing up in this vulnerable, marginalized people group that's invited. Jesus is our host, and Jesus is our guest. So we see this posture of reaching outward. But what I love about our focus statement as well is that we can't reach outward without also looking and receiving inward. Hospitality is twofold. Jesus tells his listeners to look around for the people who are truly vulnerable to their surroundings. And we're told that the spiritual practice of hospitality is not just letting people in the door, but it's letting them through the walls that we build and maintain to protect ourselves. So now, if we're going to really try to grow in that practice, how do we also grow in reaching inward? Drawing inward. How are we continue to be filled on the journey so that we continue to reach outward? Well, I think we have to start with the fact that God welcomes us first. God has welcomed each of us. We have to start there, I think. That God is our creator, God loves us, and God welcomes us, each of us, all of you, to the table. I love the words in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, Jesus says, the host, the great host, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here we have an invitation to be a guest. We have an invitation to go and receive hospitality from God. God's incredible love. And I will give you rest. Here we see the invitation to draw inward, to feast at God's table. God, through Christ, welcomes each of us. When my deep down identity wants to say I don't belong, God says you do belong. When my deep down baggage and shame says no, I'm not enough and I can't, God says yes, you can and you are enough. When I say I'm not going to ever be able to get that right, God says it's enough. You are my child. I love you. That is your identity first and foremost. So it's beautiful picture of hospitality that allows us to just receive the words of God. We are God's beloved. And can we allow ourselves to be filled with that? I want to end with a story of where I see this being embodied, this beautiful picture of hospitality. Going back to my parents hosting, there was one student that my parents hosted. His name was Johannes. He would have lived in the dorm at Lancaster Mennonite School. And then on the weekends, back 15 years ago, on the weekends, they would have host families that they would live in. And so Johannes would be in the dorm during the week, and then on the weekends, he would come to my house. Johannes was our guest. My parents were the host. But yet, hospitality was mutually experienced. Over the course of those 2 years, Johannes's parents also were able to come to the U.S. from Ethiopia, and they would visit my family, and they became close to one another. There were bonds of friendship that were shared, meals were eaten together, mutual feelings of love were present. Then fast forward about 6 years to 2008, and Johannes graduated from Eastern Mennonite University, and he's getting married back in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And guess what? Johannes invites my entire family to be guests at his wedding in Ethiopia. Now, my parents had never really even traveled overseas much. I had never been overseas. It was incredible invitation of hospitality to be guests at their wedding. And my family decided together we are going to receive that invitation. And we are going to be guests at their wedding. And let me tell you what, they sure knew how to throw a party. It was a grand celebration. It made me rethink everything about wedding celebrations and invitations in particular. And we see this message of how we think about invitations in Luke as well. In my culture, I invite my guests and my family, those closest to me, to an event such as a wedding or a party. But in Addis Ababa, for Johannes's family, they actually gave a social expectation that their guests would also invite their friends. So at the wedding, I asked Johannes, how many people here do you actually know? He said, maybe half. Maybe half. Because my friends and guests invited their friends and guests. The picture of the wedding meal reminds me of this text in Luke. Because the guest list for Johannes' family, they had to give up some control. They had to invite vulnerability because they didn't know who their guests were going to invite. But I thought that was a beautiful picture of how they think about eating together in a more communal culture in Ethiopia. A beautiful picture of hospitality. Not just because of the guest list, but because Johannes had originally been a guest in our home, and now we were guests in his home. Guests at his wedding. Hospitality is always giving and receiving. Hospitality has a way of doing that. Often when we give, we realize we received more. And I believe that was God filling us back up again for continued acts of hospitality. So where are we at today in this focus statement, Whitmer Heights, friends? Maybe you are ready to give. You are ready to be a host. And maybe you're even planning on hosting someone for lunch today. I don't know. Or maybe, just maybe, you're in a season where you just need to be a guest and you just need to receive. Or maybe you're at a place where you recognize you can't really separate the two and they go hand in hand. Wherever you're at on the journey, God says here, welcome. Welcome to my table, where I am both the host and the guest. Jesus says, come feast with me. And while you're at it, invite some friends to come along as well. Amen.